Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
My name is Nigel. Hammer's over there, still learning more about the Nashville school shooter, 28-year-old female. I'm not going to say the name. She was not known to police previously. They say that she was under a doctor's care for emotional disorder. Police say there's no evidence that she targeted any specific individuals during the attack, which doesn't make anybody feel any better whatsoever. And they said the shooter, police say the shooter purchased 7 firearms from 5 different gun stores, which were secretly hidden around the house, unbeknownst to other family members that she was living with. Reports that her mom and dad weren't supportive of her decision to transition from a woman to a man.
So release the manifesto.
Yeah, there's no motivation yet. We don't have a motive.
Put it out there. If you want the speculation to stop, if you want the rumors and the people on Twitter to stop just speculating and running wild with all these different theories, release the manifesto. And if you're going to tell me, like the Nashville police have, this is an active investigation, okay, fine. But you showed us the video yesterday, the body cam video of these brave officers storming into the school. You showed us the video of this lunatic breaking into the school. I promise you, the video that we watched yesterday of those officers running toward danger and eliminating the threat is a lot more intense probably than anything you're going to find in this manifesto. So why not release it? Now, if they would have said from the very beginning, we're not going to release anything until we have our investigation complete, all right, I will respect their wishes. But damn, the body cam video, the security video, it got out in less than 24 hours. It was out that same night. So what's the holdup here? What's the delay?
Well, you talk about speculation, and that's all that's going to happen until they release this thing. We do know, Hammer, we do know, and the Nashville police have said this woman had another school in mind but decided against it. If you remember in the beginning, we speculated that she had a grudge against her old school because she went to the school that she shot up. She had another school in mind until she found out the security was too tight at this school. So she decided to go to Covenant, and that would make an easier target. And unfortunately, she was right. They did not have a school resource officer there.
Someone has leaked this story from Newsweek that gay community groups, LGBTQ plus groups have told Newsweek that publishing the manifesto from the lunatic that shot the school up could have, quote, serious consequences. Nashville police said it won't make the manifesto public during an open investigation, but it sounds like there are multiple groups that have told Newsweek that if the manifesto does get leaked out to the public or it's made public, it's going to look bad on those communities.
So don't release the manifestos. Don't pass bills banning puberty blockers for kids. Don't pass legislation blocking top surgery and bottom surgery for young people that decide they want to become a man or a woman. Don't do any of these things because A, it'll harm us, and B, there'll be a violent reaction if you do.
And the blame game has already started.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about violent reactions. The press secretary and now former press secretary of Arizona's Governor Katie Hobbs put out a tweet, and it was a meme of a woman with guns in her hands shooting transphobes after the trans killer massacred 6 people in a school.
Oh, wait, what was it?
It was this woman with guns in her hands.
This was Katie Hobbs' press secretary.
Yes.
Tweeting this out.
Right. Calling for shooting transphobes, as they said, their words, on a tweet literally hours after a massacre in Nashville.
And you say she resigned?
Yes.
Well, she should have been fired. Hobbs should have immediately fired her, not given her a chance to resign. She's nuts. You can't be the anti-gun party and you put out gun memes out there, first of all.
Right.
And you know, not to mention that it's advocating killing people who she perceives as transphobic.
You got to just stop the killing.
Yeah,
advocating
right.
killing.
Yes.
What the hell is wrong with you, you lunatic? And that's what you see right now. Like, some of these people are just lunatics. So you've got these people in Arizona blaming transphobes for what happened. Let's go to Washington, D.C., where Mayorkas, your DHS secretary, was doing a hearing, and Louisiana Senator Kennedy was asking him if he thinks certain weapons should be banned.
Mr. Secretary, do you agree with the president that we should ban the private ownership of assault weapons in America?
Senator, I do.
What is an assault weapon?
It is, for example, an AK-47.
Can you give me a definition other than just pointing to a specific weapon? Would there be other weapons besides an AK-47 you would ban?
Very well are. And I remember when I was a federal prosecutor in the Central District of California from September 25th, 1989 to, I believe it was, April 2001.
And I thank you for your service.
The vast majority of law enforcement officers, leaders with whom I worked, were greatly in support of the assault weapons
Mr.
ban.
Mr. Chairman, you know why we get so frustrated with you? Because you won't give straight answers.
I think I just did.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Do you have a definition of an assault weapon?
I am confident there is a technical definition of what is an assault weapon, and it was assuredly used in the context of the statute that previously existed.
So he's all about wanting them banned, but could not describe one if his life depended on it. All right. So we've heard from a lunatic governor. We've heard from your lunatic DHS secretary. Now let's go to your lunatic White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre.
What I will say to Republicans in Congress is, what are you going to say to these parents?
What are you going to say to these parents?
Well, what does that mean?
Like, does she want Republicans to apologize because a crazy leftist murdered their children? That doesn't make any sense at all. And we talked about this yesterday. If you look at the list of recent mass shooters, whether it be school, business, whatever, we're talking Nashville, we're talking Denver, we're talking Aberdeen, everywhere and in between. Look at the list there. I'm pretty sure there's not a lot of Trump votes there. There's not a lot of Republican votes there. Most of those shooters had identified as trans. Denver shooter was non-binary. So somehow this is the Republicans' fault. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton responded to Karine Jean-Pierre on Twitter, quote, "It doesn't get much lower than blaming Republicans in Congress for a transgender killer who targeted a Christian school. Shameful."
Yeah, he's right. There's one person to blame, and it's not Republicans. It's not the trans community. I would say if this person was radicalized by a violent faction of that community, they could be partly to blame. But there's really only one person to blame here, and that's the shooter.
And this takes us to maybe the biggest lunatic of them all. MSNBC morning host Joe Scarborough this morning.
Former presidents, they make martyrs out of convicts who stormed the United States Capitol. These Republicans are the enemy of the rule of law. Everywhere we look, they're so worried about drag show, whatever they do, all of this stupidity. They're so afraid somebody's going to read a book about Hank Aaron. They're so afraid they're going to read a book on Roberto Clemente, but they're perfectly fine with AR-15s all over the freaking world. They're sick.
They're sick. Talking about the Republicans. Again, there are some bad Republicans. Don't get it twisted. There are some bad people, some real zeros. But pump the brakes a little bit. Like you said, Nige, focus on the shooter. Focus on the shooter, because that's who is sick in this situation. And that's why I want the manifesto released. I want to find out what this person was thinking, if there are any sort of clues as to what was going on in this person's life. And lastly, Morning Joe, if crazy leftists would stop shooting and killing people for 5 minutes, that would be appreciated.
Crime, punishment, judges, legal stuff.
Oh, this story sucks. Oh, man, this is so gross. This 57-year-old employee at a water treatment plant in Louisiana got fired and arrested for peeing in the town's water supply.
Oh, come on. Really?
Is that just gross or what?
Oh, gross.
And longtime employee there, too. Been working there forever. It's not clear how many times he's done it, but they caught him on video doing it at least twice.
Oh, no. He wanted to make sure he really got it in there.
Sure. Well, he was moving the security camera. He was physically moving the security camera so they wouldn't be able to pick him up peeing into the water. And then he peed over a rail into a water tank right below. And then after his shift, the camera, he would move the camera back when he was done.
So he was going over a rail into a water tank. I mean, that takes a little marksmanship, actually. Like, I'm mad, but I'm also impressed at the same time. But if this dude had just now got busted doing it, and he did it twice, how many times did he get away with doing this? Was it daily? Was this something he'd do once in a while?
Oh, yeah. Now, I think there was a statement put out by officials assuring the people of Louisiana that the town's water was safe to drink. They took samples. The public was never in any danger.
There was just enough pee in there to keep it safe. Was that in the press release? Because that doesn't make me feel any better.
Aren't you supposed to pee on somebody if they get stung by a jellyfish?
That's one of the urban legends that I've heard. Now, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's one of the things that I've heard. It helps reduce the stain or something like that.
Pee in the shower?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I've seen people pee in these fountains. Out here in Monument Circle.
Of course.
Like right behind me, the amount of homeless dudes I have seen peeing in the fountain. Like there's a guy out there right now. I don't know what he's doing. It looks like he's fishing, to be honest with you, in the fountain. But I've seen some crazy stuff taking place out there. There's this new trend popular from like a decade ago, but somehow it's making its way back around on social media.
Yeah.
It's called Beezin. Have you ever heard of this?
Oh, is that where they put the Burt's Bees lip balm on a body part or something?
You put it under your eyes, and people are claiming that it gets them high. It enhances the effects of alcohol.
What?
Helps them stay awake if they're going to a party. You know, it's almost like a smelling salt almost. You put it on your eyes, it kind of gives you that wide awake buzz that you're looking for.
That's ridiculous.
Here is a doctor talking about some of the negative effects of Beezin.
The peppermint oil in the lip balm is a very strong irritant and can cause inflammation in the eye, redness of the eye, swelling.
The doctor went on to say, and you're a dumbass if you do this.
I'm addicted to lip balm. I gotta have it everywhere. Everywhere.
Everywhere?
I'm just on my lips, but I'm saying I gotta have actual.
The look on Allison's face right now. Like, it looks like she just ate something foul.
I said that wrong. I said I gotta have a stick, close by at all times. I don't put it all over my body. How many different brands of lip balm can you name off the top of your head?
Chapstick, Bees, whatever.
Let me tell you something. Burt's Bees sucks. I hate that lip balm. Because
there goes that endorsement for Burt's Bees.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it for $1 million. Because that stuff sucks. It's spicy. It doesn't really.
Spicy?
That's why they use it on their. That's part of the reason why they're using it on their eyes.
Have you ever rubbed it on somewhere else?
No. No, I haven't.
Because you seem like the expert in this. You say you've got all the. You know what's good, what's overrated. You just mentioned moments ago, you rub it all over your body. I'm just wondering if you've ever had a little one man party with the beeswax.
Chapstick. Blistex, Nivea, Aquaphor, I got some good Aquaphor stuff for your lips.
Nivea, Chapstick, Burt's Bees.
The Burt's Bees is the worst. It doesn't really even make your lips moist. I just used the word moist and everybody got quiet.
Like, I never thought you'd say something other than you use this stuff all over your body that would make me feel a little bit more queasy. But then you just said moist and man, like this room just shut down on
you. Come on, Allison. Back me up here. You're addicted to the lip balm, right? You got to have it.
I love lip balm. I've never met a grown man so obsessed with it.
An enthusiast.
I have to buy
lip balm stuff.
Every time I'm at the, it's like I'm at the, It's like I'm the Rain Man almost when I'm at the drugstore. I have to buy lip balm every time I'm there.
Do you have a preferable flavor? Are you cherry chapstick? Are you the original?
I could go. I could go cherry. But this Nivea stuff I'm using is just it's great. How about that lip balm egg?
Oh yeah,
you like that little egg? Oh, that's the best. Yeah,
but I tear the dead skin off my lips.
That's awful.
Your bloody lips.
Real quick, before we hit a break, we mentioned earlier we were just a few Twitter followers shy of hitting the magical 18,000 mark. Ladies and gentlemen, we got it.
Uh-oh. Looks like we made it.
Oh, cool.
So, another plateau reached for Hammer and Nigel Nation, and when our blue check mark goes away on April 1st, we can say that these 18,000 came before things got squirrely on Twitter. How about that? It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Nigel Show, Casey Daniels from the Kendall and Casey Show joining us for the side piece. Casey, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. It's Friday for me, guys. I'm off Thursday and Friday.
Oh, congratulations.
So it's like,
whoop-de-doo.
I'm about to wrap this up and hit the road.
Well, thanks for sticking around before you hit your long weekend. Mm-hmm. I heard you and Rob talking earlier about, and I had been paying attention to much of the news this morning at a thing at my daughter's school. You said the Trump grand jury's done for the week?
Yeah.
Remember when Trump said he was getting indicted like a week and a half ago?
Uh-huh.
And so the district attorney, Alvin Bragg, who wants to bring charges against Donald Trump for campaign finance violations for the hush payments to Stormy Daniels. Mm-hmm. You're telling me the grand jury is off for the rest of the week?
That's what I'm telling you, Nigel. Yeah. They're like the Indiana Republicans, right? They barely work. They got the long weekend. Pretty good gig, right?
But what's going on? I have a feeling there's true dissension in the ranks, and I have a feeling this Bragg, Fat Alvin, as Hammer likes to call him.
Hey.
Yeah, maybe is it possible that they're having trouble agreeing? Maybe they're not going to indict him after all.
I mean, it feels like if this were the surefire home run that mm-hmm. Fat Alvin thought that it was, we'd already have this thing passed down.
Right.
Right?
Right. I mean, doesn't it seem like the case is pretty flimsy? Like they can't
Absolutely.
They can't do it?
Well, I thought that from the very beginning. But
right.
If I could borrow Nigel's tinfoil hat here for just a second. Will you throw that over
go
here,
ahead.
Jimmy?
Here you go.
Let me put my tinfoil hat on here, Casey. Does it look good on me?
Yeah, that's nice.
I thought for sure.
Goes with your sweatshirt there. Go
thank
ahead.
Thank you. I thought you would see perhaps an indictment come down yesterday,
mm-hmm.
just to take a little attention off another crazy leftist shooting up a school.
Right.
Just to change the news cycle
yes.
a little bit. Instead, they're just blaming the Republicans, and we got into that already.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought we would see it yesterday just to change the news cycle.
Right.
We didn't get it yesterday, not going to get it today, and now it sounds like we're not going to have Bupkis until next week.
Don't look over here. Nothing to see over here. Let me draw your attention in this other way. That's a really, really interesting take on that.
Do you think this helps Trump in any way, shape, or form in terms of his campaign?
Well, I think it definitely points out that, you know, there's been a witch hunt after him. Does it help him try to get independence on his side? I figure if you're a Trump person, you're a Trump person. Is he going to be winning new people over? Only if those hardcore Trump people bring a friend.
Right.
And
that's a good point.
So, I mean, yeah, it's keeping his name in the news cycle. And with him coming out saying, I'm going to be indicted tomorrow, that's him controlling the narrative, which is smart on his part. But is it going to bring anybody over? I don't really think so.
In the New York Times, and you know, it's the New York Times, it's, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but there's a story in there about how Trump is disappointed. He's sitting there in Mar-a-Lago, like actually looking forward to a perp walk.
Well, what's going to happen? Know? I mean, if he does get indicted, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to make arrangements for him to surrender to authorities someplace, probably a police station, right? He gets fingerprinted, he gets photographed, and that image is instantly ricocheted across the world. So if you're Trump, yeah, he wants everybody looking at his face and drawing attention to him, but it's kind of for the wrong reason.
But this is everything that the Democrats want, even if the case falls apart, but they still indict him, right? They've got the mugshot.
Right.
And because they'll have the mugshot, they'll say you can never chant lock her up about Hillary ever again. Mm-hmm. They can never talk about how crooked and corrupt the political left is. If they get the mugshot, that's all they want. It's the equivalent of having like parents that have kids playing sports that don't even want to do it. Mm-hmm. But as long as they got that photo of little Johnny out there on the baseball field and they can show their friends, that's all they care about.
Proud parent moment.
Right.
Well, I mean, you got to think that Trump has got to be like on question 50, you know, like, okay, how does this impact his campaign? How are his rivals going to act? What are the chances he gets convicted? What do the House Republicans do? Like, you know, he's got his MAGA vanguard that's been with him. Are they going to turn their back on him? And then what happens next? So that's what we're thinking, right? Trump is running for president. He's got to be well beyond those questions and already has a plan for indictment, no indictment. At least you would hope so, right?
And looking at some of the poll numbers, and again, you'll give yourself an aneurysm looking at poll numbers right now because they're all over the place.
Yeah.
But it does feel like this whole situation in the Manhattan grand jury has bumped him up a few points. Nobody is saying, well, I can't believe that the former president would do this. He has lost my support. If anything, he's gone up a little bit.
Well, yeah, because, you know, you take that poll right after he announces, I'm getting indicted tomorrow and this is a witch hunt and people are on his side. Yeah, this isn't right. What's the deal? This is a misdemeanor. This isn't even a felony at this point. But when you look at numbers in Iowa, which is the first state, DeSantis is leading there. And in New Hampshire, they're dead even. So it really depends on what poll you look at and what time the poll was taken.
And if you believe Iowa matters, because correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor Pete won Iowa for the Democrats. Pete Buttigieg did well in New Hampshire as well, and then had a little financial trouble. Next thing you know, the puppeteers at the DNC said, yeah, we can't get this loser across the finish line. Let's quote unquote have a fair election, but we're going to make it Joe Biden.
Yeah, and winking and nod. Hey, you want to be transportation secretary?
Absolutely.
Where's that guy been, by the way? Have you heard anything about Mayor Pete lately? Like, he's been out of the news cycle.
He had a bad couple weeks there, for sure.
Is he okay? He's recuperating somewhere. But so where does that leave people like Nikki Haley and Mike Pence and Vivek Ramaswamy? You know, these guys are polling. I mean,
and the rest of the AFC South is right.
People
that have no chance in hell of making it to the games that matter.
Right. Okay. So what? They're all just going to split the vote even more and then just propel Trump to the top.
That's how it's going to play out.
We're looking at two guys at this point. We're looking at Trump and DeSantis. And DeSantis not officially declaring that he's running for presidency. I mean, is it too early in the game to be this far in the weeds with this too? Is it going to make everybody just tired of it by the time we're really in the thick of primary season?
I think you come in at the last minute. I mean, that's what Biden did. They had to beg Joe Biden to come and run for president.
Oh, we're begging him to leave.
We got to get you in the mix because we can't elect Kamala. Mm-hmm. We can't elect Amy Klobuchar and these other group of stiffs here. We're going to get our asses handed to us. We need to make everybody think that we've got some old nice grandpa that's going to be fair and down the middle and absolutely 100% has all of his faculties and we're going to get him across the finish line. And of course they did that, and it turns out to quote Dennis Green, he is who we thought he was. He's a horrible person, a complete stooge for the radical left. And let's be honest, this dude lost his fastball a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, his economic policies really contributing to the inflation that we're experiencing. People are having a hard time making ends meet.
He can't walk, Casey.
He can't walk. Well, did you see the hot mic from yesterday? He was leaving the plant in North Carolina, and he was being escorted out of the building by somebody, and the guy was on a hot mic, and he was like, okay, we're going to exit down the ramp, and then we're going to move to your left. And there's a blue dot on the concrete, and you're going to stand on the blue dot.
And then he left, and he still didn't know where he was going when he was leaving.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. He doesn't know the building, but to sit there and say, down the ramp, really? You can't see that with your own eyes as you're walking out of the building that there's a ramp there. Somebody's got to explain that to you, what that is.
And the bizarre ice cream speech after the school shooting.
That was really unfortunate.
Do you think his handlers even told him what had happened?
Yeah.
I mean, that was so embarrassing and it's so cringeworthy. Mm-hmm. He's the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. This is the guy that's our commander in chief. And I don't know if he's just an idiot or if he's got dementia or if he's just a horrible, rotten person. But this is the president.
Well, and then he was in Canada saying how happy he was to be allies with China. Oh, I mean, Canada.
Hell yeah, he is. That's where his money comes from.
Well, and then he was just asked in regards to that Nashville shooting, he was just asked if he thought that this was hate crimes against Christians. And he said, I don't know. And then some reporter said, well, Josh Hawley thinks it is. And he said, oh, well, if he says yes, then I'm going to say no.
And he laughs and he
and then he laughed it off.
He goes to have pudding and watch Matlock.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking a lot about mental illness in the country. And let's just consider who the assistant director of Health and Human Services is. I mean, that's, you know, Rachel Levine, right? Here's a person who decided that they were going to be a transgender, and that's the person who is in charge of millions and millions of discretionary money to help other people's mental health.
Ridiculous. What are you working on with the side piece?
Okay, so Tony Katz even included you
Never
on
heard
this
of him.
One. Yeah. So we've got the STD breakdown in the state of Indiana. Something you should be concerned about, Hammer?
I have slept with a lot of girls from Southport, so maybe.
We rank 20th in the nation for STDs here in Indianapolis.
And thanks, Southport.
Yeah, we got a high amount of chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis. Yeah, you can read all those stats right now at WIBC.com. Just go to the menu bar and select side piece.
Mike Pence used to sit in this very chair, Casey. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. I'm counting down, so turn around. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I make that booty go. Listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show. All right, before we get to this next story, which is an awesome story about a bad guy getting shot dead trying to rob a food truck. Do you like the drink that I brought in for us, Hammer?
It's today? Really, really tart and sweet. That would be the way I would describe it.
It was. I was in Kroger this morning. It was in the discount cart.
I see why.
A bunch of crap that they're trying to get rid of for $10. Rancho La Gloria Blueberry Margarita.
Bless you.
Wine cocktail.
We're like a bunch of old broads in here, aren't we? We're drinking wine cocktails in here.
Oh, yeah, that's... it's got a little tart to it, for sure.
It's not my favorite, but I appreciate the fact that you bought the booze, so I will be more than happy to drink it. It's a little sweet for me, to be honest with you.
So this grandma shot and killed a dude trying to rob her food truck
in
Houston.
Good.
She was able to, he pulled the gun out. She was able to kind of close the door or close the window in the food truck. He opened it back open, stuck his gun inside the window, and the gun jammed. The perpetrator's gun jammed. And that's when she was able to get her gun and blow him the F away.
And this was a grandma, too. It was a grandma that ran a family food truck, and they'd been in this business for a number of years. And bless her heart, she had a panic attack after she shot and killed the bad guy.
Yeah.
So, like, she passed out.
Yeah.
And the authorities arrived, and it sounds like she's going to be cleared of everything.
Oh, she better be.
This was
obviously
clear self-defense. because the bad guy pointed the weapon at her, tried to shoot, but the gun, like you said, jammed up, so she had the time to go get her weapon.
Oh, man, I bet that was some good food, whatever she's serving in that food truck.
Oh, I bet
you're love food
right.
trucks, man. I love, like, sometimes in the summer, our neighborhood will have, like, food truck Fridays where once a month they'll have a different food truck on a different court and bring beer and stuff. Man, there's something called Grace Truck. Dude, the truffle breakfast muffin. I'm looking at it right now. It's making me cry. It's like an English muffin with an Amish egg, Parmesan cheese, red eye mayo. Truffle. I love food trucks. So if anybody hasn't had the time to try to find Grace Truck and order the truffle breakfast muffin. I don't care what time of day it is, by the way.
All right, let's have a real talk here. Let's have a real conversation.
Yes.
If only one truck had to visit you tomorrow, do you want the food truck? Do you want the ice cream truck? Because, man, there's something about the good ice cream truck when that bad boy comes down your street and it's playing that little music and you get up there and there's everything from the bomb pops to the soft serve to everything and in between. There's something special about an ice cream truck.
I want the food truck, but the kids want the ice cream truck. And they also have the Kona ice truck that they do sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Neighbors will throw in a bunch of money, and then they pull into the court, and they serve the shaved ice.
That's at the Beech Grove High School a lot. You see that truck parked there when there are major events or ball games or something going on. So hit us up on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, even the YouTube chat. We're live on YouTube. If only one truck had to visit you tomorrow, do you want your favorite food truck or your favorite ice cream truck? At Hammer and Nigel.
The music they play is pretty creepy still.
Yeah, but you're talking about truffles. And man, if I got my opportunity to either have awesome ice cream or truffles.
Yeah, that's just what it's called. I mean, if I showed you a picture of this from the Grace truck, you'd look at it and be like, okay, now I see what you're talking about. Oh, it's so good. Oh, man.
Well, you heard Nige. He got us a little blueberry wine delight here in the studio. We've been sipping on this. If you need another reason to drink, today is National Smoke and Mirrors Day.
What does that mean?
National Smoke and Mirrors Day, where basically you celebrate the fact that you have pulled a fast one on somebody before. You've made them fall for a prank. You've made them believe in a magic trick or something like that.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I heard the word magic. So here's what we're going to do. Great moments in magic history. This was when the Super Bowl was in Los Angeles and the cameras picked up on California's governor, Gavin Newsom, and Magic Johnson. They're hanging out in a suite. They're playing grab ass. And despite the fact that California's governor, who was Gavin Newsom, made everybody wear a mask in the stadium, there was no mask between Magic Johnson, who may or may not be compromised, and the governor of California.
Magic was kind enough, generous enough to ask me for a photograph, and in my left hand's the mask, and I took a photo. Rest of the time, I wore it, as we all should, not when I had a glass of water or a thing, I encourage everybody else to do so.
I love his story as Magic asked me for a picture. Dude, get over yourself.
Right.
You got busted on camera. Knock it off. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Hammer and Nigel.
Do you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock!
So is Trump getting indicted or not? Like, what is going on with this district attorney in Manhattan? Or, I'm sorry, the grand jury. I mean, they're not meeting anymore this month. They're taking the rest of March off. And it looks like, according to reports, they're not going to convene in April either. this is all having to do with Trump's supposed hush money payments to Stormy Daniels and campaign finance violations. And I think this has fallen apart. I mean, it's absolutely fallen apart for Fat Alvin, as you call him, the district attorney there.
Hey, we're not doing indictments today. Fat Alvin's whole world is crumbling around him.
It is.
Because I promise you, I guarantee you, if he thought he had something that was going to stick on Donald Trump, this would have already been out there. The indictment would have happened. The arraignment would have happened. They would have got their picture, which is the Holy Grail, the mugshot picture of Donald Trump. There would have been a perp walk, and each side would have claimed victory on it. But they don't have anything.
According to the Daily Beast, I'm looking at this right here. Basically, they're saying they talked, let's see, the indictment that Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg is currently seeking is based on a crime that was so flimsy it was never viewed as a standalone criminal case, according to three attorneys that have worked on that investigation previously. Before Bragg was there, there was this guy, the former DA, Cy Vance Jr., several times looked at this and ultimately decided not to bring charges. And you have to remember, here's the other thing you need to know about this case. Bragg's star witness, Michael Cohen, Trump's fixer, convicted perjurer, claims that he was unfairly prosecuted and was part of a witch hunt. So you're going to have the main witness that says his conviction was bogus? How well is that going to work against Trump, who is also claiming he's the victim of malicious prosecution? It doesn't make any sense. It's hilarious.
Even if you don't follow this story incredibly closely, let's say you work most of the day and you turn on the Hammer and Nigel show just to catch up on the headlines. This is all you need to know about what's happening with Donald Trump in New York. The district attorney there, his star witness, the guy that was going to lock up Donald Trump, is a convicted perjurer.
Yes, exactly. And he hasn't admitted to the things to which he was convicted. He's disputing his own convictions and going out on TV and talking about it. So that doesn't make it, I'm not a lawyer here, but does that make for a very credible witness about anyone else's culpability or guilt in this situation? That it's falling apart.
So let's have a little prop bet here. Let's have a little bet. What do you think will happen first? Carb day or an indictment on Donald Trump? Place your bets right now at Hammer and Nigel. What's going to happen first? Carb day or an indictment on the Orange
Man? I'm telling you, the indictment, Trump better hope this flimsy indictment goes through, because it will make it, when he walks out of the courtroom a free man and is able to paint himself as someone that has been maliciously prosecuted, that resonates.
But doesn't that give voters the left what they want? Because I think all they want is the mugshot.
Well, fine. The mugshot's fine. But when the charges are dropped and everybody looks like a doofus.
But that won't get covered the same way as the mugshot will. You know that.
But Trump will cover it. And Trump's base will love it. That is something they'll eat up.
Speaking of Donald Trump, last night was part two of this sit-down interview that he did with Sean Hannity on Fox. And Trump, defending his decision to make Christopher Wray the FBI director.
I put Chris Wray in because I wanted to have somebody in there that everybody, including the other side, really wanted. It may not have been the right move. Let's see. Time will tell, okay? But I wanted to have somebody in the FBI because I'm an honorable guy. I'm an honest guy. I may have made a mistake, but I put somebody in that the other side, everybody agreed to. You know who recommended him to me? Chris Christie.
Okay, you can blame Chris Christie all you want. I have a problem with that answer. Why are you trying to get somebody that everybody likes, both sides likes? Do you think the left would do that for you? Do you think the political left would do that for you? You don't get to work with them and then wonder why your FBI has become over-politicized. Chris Wray is a train wreck. The FBI leadership has been horrendous for years. I'm not talking about the everyday officers. I'm talking about the upper echelon leadership. It's been deplorable. It's been awful. Don't work with these other sides. What are you doing? They wouldn't work with you. That's the real reality. That's the hard truth of today. Anybody that says, well, I want to work with the other side, I want to be bipartisan. No. Don't do that. The other side are lunatics, and they would never do it for you. And this is what gets Donald Trump in trouble.
He's surrounding himself with some pretty interesting people there. A very high turnover in the Trump office. Which does tell me that at least he wasn't willing to put up with a bunch of crap. Yeah, get out of here, Omarosa.
Right.
Rance Priebus.
But you brought him in, though. You brought the mooch in. Like
the mooch is another example. Fauci, for that matter.
Right. And listen, it might not be the popular opinion, but there's no place for bipartisanship right now, especially if you're Donald Trump. Maybe if you're somebody else, you can work with both sides. But there is no way bipartisanship can happen to Donald Trump. They will not do any favors for that man. Now, this may be my favorite part of both nights of interviews. So Donald Trump, last night, Sean Hannity claims that Ron DeSantis, without his help, Ron DeSantis would either be working in a law firm or a pizza parlor.
Then I had to get him against the star of the Democrat Party. It was going to be Stacey Abrams, and now we call him a crackhead because that's what he was, a crackhead.
His name, Gillum.
Gillum. And there was no way Ron was going to beat Gillum. So he got the nomination, but there was no way because this guy was going to be the future of the Democrat Party. And I said, Ron, you can beat this guy. Let's go. I got him the nomination. By the way, couldn't have never gotten the nomination. He would be working in either a pizza parlor place or a law office right now, okay? And he wouldn't be very happy.
So that's where Ron DeSantis would either be right now, in a law firm or a pizza parlor. I love that's both ends of the spectrum there.
Just, every time he attacks DeSantis, I cringe because it just kind of makes him look like he's scared of the guy. That's all that stands out to me. I mean, I know he's not really, like, in terms of, like, being actually scared of somebody. He's not afraid to go up against anybody. But you do look scared of this guy for sure because he doesn't care about Nikki Haley or Chris Christie or that other guy that put his name in the race, Vivek Ramaswamy.
Very close.
Yeah, okay.
Ramaswamy.
Yeah, well, that's what I said.
He'd either be working in a law firm or a pizza parlor. You imagine walking into Noble Romans? There's Ron DeSantis. He's tossing the dough up in the air. Here is Donald Trump last night. He was asked what he misses the most about being in the White House.
When I said I could fix this war in Ukraine in 24 hours, but you can only do it from the presidential seat. You can't do it. Let's say he sent me over as an emissary. You can't do it. You have to be in that position.
You have to be the guy.
I would fix that within 24 hours. And if I win, before I get into the office, I will have that war settled. 100% sure.
I really missed that little button on the presidential desk where I could just press it and the lady would bring me a Coke. That's what I miss most. I had a button and just pressed it and they brought me a Coke.
Diet Coke, and they'd bring me a pizza. And Ron DeSantis made the pizza in his pizza parlor. From one president to another, let's check in with wheeling, dealing, hair sniffing, kiss stealing Joe Biden.
I got hairy legs. Take a test where you're taking cocaine. Come on, man. You ain't black.
So this story has fallen completely off of the radar, but the paper trail of the Biden crime family. Remember a couple weeks ago, there was a story that came out. There is money that can be traced from the Chinese Communist Party to certain members of Hunter's business community, and that member funneled money back to the Bidens. The update is Hunter's business partner, who paid over $1 million in payments to the Bidens, was a frequent White House visitor, according to presidential logs.
What do you mean, when he was vice president?
When Joe Biden was the vice president, the shady business partner, John Walker, appears to have visited the White House 16 times when then Vice President Joe Biden was in the building. So all of a sudden, this is really starting to come together. This is like the puzzle piece. At first, we found out another name of a Biden. It was Beau's widow, Hunter's side piece, the daughter-in-law. She's involved. There's still a, quote, unnamed Biden involved here. A lot of people think it's the big guy, but all things are starting to turn a little bit here, and it's because of James Comer of Kentucky. He's the chairman of the committee that's obtained all of these records and is doing all the legwork. So even though it's not going to be on CNN or MSNBC or the major networks, keep an eye on this story because Comer out of Kentucky is doing the legwork.
Yeah, and so, and I heard an interesting thing on Kendall and Casey Daniels today, their show, Ron Johnson out of Wisconsin saying that the bank that provided these financial statements to lawmakers is a Chinese bank.
And that's what? Just one of the Chinese banks that the Bidens do business with.
So what I'm saying is they're the only ones that provided the things, the statements to them. And I'm sure maybe, is that some sort of message to Joe Biden? Hey, look, there's more where this came from, boy.
Do not sleep on this story. There's more to it, even if certain networks choose not to cover it. Access to the vice president, selling access, that's a pretty big deal.
Hammer and Nigel presents. Is.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Is this anything?
All right, let's rock and roll.
Hammer, how do we play? Is this anything?
I'll run some stories by you. You tell us if they're anything or not. Is this anything? There's video going viral of a groom saying his wedding vows, and it's racked up over 18 million views on TikTok. But not because, you know, it's some sort of special loving moment. He's kind of focused on the bedroom activities that may happen afterwards, and it comes off as kind of cringeworthy. And by the way, the officiant in this wedding, his mom.
Only two things are required to keep me happy: keep my belly full and my empty. Well, you're amazing at half of it. We really need to get you some cooking lessons. Even
Lord.
If my belly isn't full, there is no one I could ever love more in this lifetime, unless I actually get a chance to meet Margot Robbie. Since the beginning, I was always told life gets even better when the kids fall asleep and you tell me to come to the bedroom. Nothing's better than the sound of gagging and headboard slamming.
Good God!
P.S., since you're so good at making decisions like Mary and me, you can choose whether tonight's going to end with being a toaster strudel or a Twinkie.
Alrighty. Being what? That I am his mom, I will deal with him later. He is grounded, by all means.
Oh my, that was so cringy. And not funny. And if I was the bride's father, I'd walk straight up to him and punch him in the face. I'd wrap my hands around his stupid fat neck and squeeze as hard as I could. No, this is nothing.
The girl dad's coming out on Nige, and I'm here for it. I'd love to see that. I've seen a lot of things DJing weddings, but I haven't seen a brawl yet.
Have you ever seen or heard wedding vows that involved the word gagged?
I have not. I've heard some pretty cringeworthy speeches and toasts from like the best man and the maid of honor, especially if it's like fraternity brothers. They'll say some inappropriate stuff, but nothing like that. Holy crap, that's cringeworthy. Which brings us to great moments in wedding history. So this was a viral video a couple years ago. This was at a wedding ceremony. And while someone is singing a very special, poignant song during the ceremony, the groom, who's mic'd up, leans over to his bride. He says that she looks amazing. And I want you to listen very closely because she responds by whispering, "I took a really big dump before I came down the aisle."
You look amazing.
Now, it's kind of hard to hear because she whispers and the singer is singing in the background. So we've isolated the clip. Take a listen closely one more time. I took a really big dump right before I came down the aisle.
I bet it stinks now back there, honey. You're going to shower before we get into bed tonight.
Good Lord. Your speech is starting to sound like the one of the previous groom. Great moments in wedding history. This was when a couple people rented out the ballroom at Mar-a-Lago to have their wedding and their wedding reception. And they had a special guest wedding crasher. Donald Trump comes walking through.
Everyone having a good time?
Looking good, Donald.
Yeah. Hey, where's your
pants? USA! 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 USA!
Just a little celebrity walk on.
I think that'd be pretty cool. And by the way, he loves that stuff. He eats that stuff for dinner. He loves it.
Great moments in wedding history. The speech from the the wedding reception in the movie Old School.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of new people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded like a guy. Magic show, ready to double team your girlfriend.
It stops right there, and it continues right here, because I think what my friend Mitch is trying to say is that true love is blind.
Vince Vaughn with the save right there. True love is blind. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital. To rock around, that's right.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Well, some hearings going on in Washington today before the House Armed Services Committee. Along next to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, General Milley was also there taking some questions from this committee, saying, boy, this was kind of scary. And we'll just play the clip here. General Milley saying the U.S. can't stop China's nuke program. And by 2049, they may surpass the U.S. as a world military power.
The People's Republic of China remains our number one long-term geostrategic security challenge. The PRC intends to be the regional hegemon in Asia within the next 10 years and to exceed the United States' overall military capability by mid-century. And they have publicly stated 2049. The PRC's actions are moving it down the path towards potential confrontation with its neighbors and the United States.
Well, that sounds fun. That sounds like a good time. 2049 is the target where China wants their military to be mightier and stronger than the United States military.
Yeah, well, okay. So let's do the same thing with our military. Because right now we are the world's number one superpower. And let's try to keep it that way. I'm sure there's things we could be doing as a country, as a military, and the Pentagon could be doing that I hope they're doing to keep us that way.
We're doing a lot of things right now, Nige, as a nation, but it feels like we're doing the wrong things. Let's go to the jab policy. Remember when it was the COVID policy for the United States military? If you did not want this experimental jab into your body, gone. You are out of here. I don't care how long you've been serving your country, what you've done, what your role is. You're out of here. Well, now guess what? Now they're short on numbers.
Yeah.
There's a recruiting crisis going on. And Defense Secretary Austin testifying today that despite low numbers in recruitment, the U.S. military is not going to ask back those that refused the COVID shot. Here he is with Missouri's Representative Eric Schmidt.
There are over 8,000 military men and women who lost their jobs because of the COVID vaccine mandate. Is that correct?
That's about right.
Okay, so we talk about recruitment challenges. Are you actively going after to try to get those 8,000 people back?
They have the ability to
reapply. Well, right. No, I'm asking, what are your efforts?
They have the ability to reapply for readmission.
Are you recruiting these folks?
Not recruiting, but they have the ability.
So sayonara, 8,000 well-trained folks.
We are recruiting new recruits.
Wow. We are recruiting new recruits.
screw everybody else that decided to take a stand. Yeah, they can come back what they want. They can come crawling back to us if they want. We'll hire them. No retroactive back pay. But yeah, we'll take them. We're not doing anything. We're not going out of our way to hire the people that quit because of this meaningless, ridiculous, unscientific vaccine mandate policy.
Why would we want well-trained men and women during a shortage in our military? Ha! What a silly idea that is. I mean, when you say it out loud, it's so over the top.
Yep.
Now, let's get to some fireworks here because Matt Gaetz of Florida. Say what you want about Matt Gaetz, and people usually do. He's the Republican flamethrower. He's always in the news for one reason or the other. He went after Secretary Austin and General Milley because of all the critical race theory teachings and shoving drag queen shows down the throat of our brave men and women in uniform. And it was like a class project. He had slides and images, like a PowerPoint presentation. Here is Matt Gaetz to Defense Secretary Austin on funding drag shows.
I guess my question is, how much taxpayer money should go to fund drag queen story hours on military bases?
You know, drag queen story hours is not something that the department funds.
Wait a second. That's actually not what the record seems to suggest. You were going to fund one at Ramstein Air Force Base. That one got canceled, but that's DOD insignia. That's a drag queen story hour for children. Then also at Malmstrom Air Force Base outside of Great Falls, Montana, you had a drag queen story hour for kids. At the Joint Base Langley Eustis, you put on a drag queen story hour on a Saturday for the first ever kid-friendly diversity, equity, inclusion summer festival. Ugh. And at Nellis
and
Air Force
showing
Base,
the flyers.
You had the Drag You Nellis on June 17th. Who funded these things, Mr. Secretary?
Listen, drag shows and are not something that the Department of Defense supports or funds. So.
But wait, why are they happening on military bases? I just showed you the evidence. Why are they happening?
I will say again, this is not something that we support or fund.
It seems as if Milley and Austin have no idea what's going on at these military bases, which would shock me because, I mean, these are the Joint Chiefs, man. These are the brass heads. And they do seem completely dumbfounded. Wait, we're funding drag time story hour on the base? What? It doesn't seem like they know what's going on.
Milley seems like he's a little bit more prepared than Austin is. Here's a little bit more of Matt Gaetz grilling Austin.
You think hosting a drag queen story hour on a military base isn't supporting the drag queen story hour?
I stand by what I just said.
But you may stand by it, but it's belied by the evidence over and over again. I mean, are you aware of the piece? Biden's military, Air Force Base in Montana holds drag show, drag queen story hour for kids in the Western Journal. Are you aware of that?
Again, I will say what I said before.
You're saying what you're saying, but I guess it just doesn't comport with the facts.
So this was not a good day for Defense Secretary Austin, but Milley also taking some heat here. Here, General Milley is being asked about some of the, quote, woke material being forced upon our brave men and women.
You mentioned 2 years ago that you wanted to better understand white rage. And so my question is this. Did you read this book? What is White Privilege is the book. And it's actually written by a DOD official, a senior official in diversity, equity, and inclusion. And there are now hundreds of these books in dozens of schools, and I wonder if you guys connect this to your problems with recruiting.
I've never read it, never seen it. Frankly, I don't even think about that stuff. I think about
Go ahead and put up the next slide.
About the readiness of the force.
Go ahead and put up the next slide, please. In the next slide, this is a tweet by one of your employees in charge of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and it's patently racist. They say that she had to give Karen the business. That she talks about caudacity, presumably of Caucasian people. So I guess
terrible.
Why does the why is that person?
You're not going to get an argument from me. That's terrible. It's wrong. She shouldn't be doing that. Period.
Should she be fired?
I don't. That's a DOD employee, not U.S. military uniform.
Should they be fired, Secretary Austin?
Again, as you heard at your subcommittee here, this incident was investigated.
And
they're still employed.
This was a bad day for Austin. I mean, he just looked like a stooge up there
today.
Well,
at least Mark Milley was saying, yeah, I don't support that. But when 2 years ago, it was talking about, we're introducing our soldiers to books about white rage, and we want to understand the white rage more.
Right.
This stupid myth of white rage. It's ridiculous. So right. don't pretend like you're shocked and awed about, you know, CRT books being on military bases.
Okay, I'm glad you say that, because I'm going to play a clip for you. Tell me if you believe this, because after Matt Gaetz says, I want all of the stuff entered into the record, all of these books right. that were supposed to be on our military bases, he puts them into the record. Milley acts like he's surprised that they exist, and he wants to know more about it.
Mr. Chairman, I have a series of unanimous consent requests since my time has expired.
What objections?
First is Joint Base Langley-Eustis holds drag show at Kid Friendly Festival. And the next is U.S. military defends drag show at largest training center as, quote, essential to morale. And the next is Nellis Air Force Base hosts first ever drag queen show, essential to morale and readiness. And finally, Ramstein cancels library's drag queen story time for Pride Month following criticism.
Without objection, so ordered. Gentleman's time has expired.
Can I get copies of those? Because I'd like to take a look at those myself, actually. Take a look and find out what actually is going on there. Because that's the first I'm hearing about that kind of stuff. I don't read those news stories. I don't know what you're talking about. I'd like to take a look at those because I don't agree with those.
The flyers about the drag queen shows wow. is what he entered into the record there. And you heard Milley at the end. Do you buy it?
Not exactly, especially after his testimony a couple of years ago, and he was like, well, I'm reading books about white rage. I want to understand white rage, and I want my soldiers to understand this notion of white rage. So I don't know. It seemed like they were both caught very off guard about the drag shows and the books and the things happening on these military bases.
But that's an awful lot of stuff. That's a lot of stuff for you not to know anything about that's been reported in the media.
Yeah, especially when you're chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Right. You've got people that report to you. It never came up. You didn't know anything about it. All right. Allison, cue up the band. Let's play The Feud. Raise your hand if you want to hear Ted Cruz give Mayorkas his ass on a platter.
The DHS secretary, yes.
Anybody?
Well, yeah.
All right. So we got a couple different sound bites here. Doing this is the
horrible,
Texas.
He's been awful at the border. he's been. I mean, it's an abject disaster at the border, and he doesn't seem to want to take responsibility for it.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz, DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, the subject. Has the policies of the Biden administration made Americans less safe?
Has the crisis at our southern border made Americans less safe? Yes or no?
Senator, we are dedicated to the safety.
Has the crisis made Americans less safe? I don't want a discourse. It's a yes or no question.
Senator, we have a challenge of.
You refuse to answer the question. You're being a politician misleading the American people. Let me give you a chance again. Will you show the same integrity Chief Ortiz shows? Is the crisis at the southern border making Americans less safe? Yes or no?
Senator, we have 260,000.
You refuse to answer the question. Let's move on.
And security of the
American next question,
people.
Mr. Mayorkas. Has the crisis made aliens less safe? Yes or no?
Senator, we are seeking.
So you won't answer that question either.
If you,
it's a yes or no. Has it made aliens less safe?
Senator, smugglers are exploiting.
Has the crisis made aliens less safe? Are you willing to answer it,
Senator? The smuggling organizations.
Okay, you're filibustering again.
The answer I think you're looking for is yes. It's made Americans and illegal immigrants crossing the border less safe.
And Ted was just warming up here. Oh, man. So, again, he had some arts and crafts there. He had this big poster board that had a number of colored wristbands on it. Now, the wristbands are apparently used by cartels and smugglers. It's some sort of communication device down at the border. Well, Ted Cruz lost his mind when the DHS secretary didn't know anything about them.
I don't know what they are.
You don't know what they are. Mr. Secretary, you have just testified to the American people you're incompetent at your job, because I've been to the southern border, and if you go to the southern border, along the southern border, you see thousands of these wristbands, because the illegal immigrants wear them. The drug cartels, every color corresponds to how many thousands of dollars they owe the cartels. You have turned these cartels into multi-billion dollar criminal organizations, and these are modern day leg irons, because these are children being sold into sex slavery, and you don't even know what they are. That is astonishing.
Ted's a little fired up. And again, this Mayorkas dude is a total zero.
Oh, yeah.
Just an absolute zero.
Horrible at his job, and I agree with everything Ted Cruz says. I love how he is just giving him a dressing down, and he's right about everything. How could you not know about what those wristbands were?
You're the boss.
Yeah.
You're in charge of this stuff. This is Ted Cruz, again, just handing Mayorkas his anus on a silver platter in regards to sex trafficking.
Mr. Secretary, how many children have been sold into sex slavery under your administration?
Senator, we are taking it to the cartels.
How many children have been sold into sex slavery? Do you know how many children have been sold into sex slavery?
To an unprecedented degree.
Mr. Secretary, I want to say to you right now,
it is precisely
your behavior is disgraceful, and the deaths, the children assaulted, the children raped, they are at your feet, and if you had integrity, you would resign. And I will tell you, the men and women of the Border Patrol, they've never had a political leader undermine them. They despise you, Mr. Secretary, because you're willing to let children be raped to follow political orders. This is a crisis. It's a disgrace. And you won't even admit this human tragedy is a crisis.
Mr. Secretary, would you like to respond to any of those questions?
What the senator said was revolting. I'm not going to address it.
Your refusal to do your job is revolting.
And by the way, Senator Cruz might as well be talking to Joe Biden himself.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Right. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
This is pretty funny, Hammer. The bassist for Black Sabbath, legendary, some say one of the first heavy metal bands ever, Black Sabbath, Ozzy, lead singer, obviously, Tony Iommi, a guitar player. But why was Black Sabbath's bassist Geezer? His name's Geezer Butler at the Taylor Swift show in Vegas.
Was he like, you know, a part of the show? Was he like on stage? Was he jamming on the bass?
It's a little more sweet than that. He's got grandkids. He took his grandkids to the Taylor Swift show, and it didn't stop Geezer from actually going on stage and doing a collaboration with Taylor Swift.
Okay. You got me.
All right.
First of all, I love that mix. I thought that was fantastic. Second of all, I really thought that he jumped on stage.
No, Geezer Butler did not climb on stage with Taylor Swift and do a mashup of Iron Man.
Taylor, now Allison, you've got tickets to go see Taylor Swift when she goes to Cincinnati, right?
I do.
So this is a concert where I'm hearing she's doing like 40 to 45 songs.
About 3 hours.
That's a long concert. Like, even if you love the band, Nige, is that a little too long for you to be at a show?
Not how much I spend on it.
I was going to say, what do you do?
You better be singing, girl. You better be dancing and walking around. Handshaking us all.
About 200 a ticket, right?
Yeah, just about. We don't need to remind everyone. But yeah.
Enjoy yourself. Yeah, have a good time. It. But even if it were me on stage, I ain't wanting to be there for like 3.5 hours. Like, that's a long time.
Gotta give the girl a spec. That's a lot of cardio.
True.
That's what this room has taken out of the whole thing.
Right.
Boy, that's a lot of cardio. It's the Hammer and Nigel.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Show.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer is here. Still really nothing from this manifesto of the Nashville school shooter. I'm not really even sure I care about it. I hate that word, manifesto, like Tony said yesterday. It's just, obviously we have a severely mentally disturbed individual that was getting help and being treated for some disorder, was still legally allowed to buy firearms. There are drips and drabs of this manifesto out there. My parents didn't support me. There was maybe some maps of school, schematics or whatever, the school that she decided to go shoot up. Are you curious about this manifesto at all?
I want every bit of it released. I want every last damn word released of this thing.
Well, you can be sure if this was some crazy extremist right-wing white supremacist that had a manifesto, it'd be out there all over the place.
100%. You're right.
So but they don't want to release this thing because of the consequences, they say, of the negative for the trans community, because this person was trans.
Newsweek has a story that a lot of the gay community, the LGBTQ plus community, is requesting that this manifesto not be released because it could have serious consequences on their community. Well, what would those consequences be? I want to find out, because I'm curious, because I don't know. When someone is transitioning, like this shooter was, this was a trans person, we know this for a fact, born a woman, identified as he/him, and according to the press conference from the Nashville police, this person identified as trans. I want to find out what was going on in the home life. What was going on chemically? Were they on some sort of drugs? Were they on some sort of medication?
I want to know how radicalized this person was. Who was maybe influencing this person?
Right. These are all fair questions, and don't let anybody shame you for wanting this thing released. Because you're right, Nigel, if this were, let's say, Dylann Roof, that racist, white supremacist piece of crap that shot and killed the people, the black folks in the church, it'd be out already. And the same thing with Epstein Island's list, the log of Epstein Island. I promise you, if it were Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and all of these other high-ranking conservatives, we would have had that list a long time ago. So what's the delay? The Nashville police, they did their part. They put that body cam video out. They had the surveillance video of the lunatic in the school out. I mean, it was out in less than 24 hours. And the video is amazing.
I think what the police are doing is saying, because it's still an active investigation, that we're not going to release the contents. I think we'll see it at some point. I definitely don't believe they'll kowtow to any sort of pressure from the militant radical trans protesters.
I mean, if you're going to tell me it's an investigation and we're not going to release any materials right now, all right, fine. But they've released materials.
Yeah.
I would say that body cam video of the police officers that we played yesterday and that we watched yesterday, that amazing, brave video of these officers, I would think that that's probably more intense than anything you're going to find in this manifesto. So what's the delay? Put it out there. What are you hiding? The longer this thing plays out, the more it makes it feel like they're covering something up. And I don't know that for a fact. It just feels that way to me. That's my gut feeling. And already, the political left is in overdrive to blame all of this carnage on the Republicans. This is the White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre.
What I will say to Republicans in Congress is, what are you going to say to these parents?
Okay.
And she said just as much. I mean, basically saying the same thing a couple days ago, right after this happened, going straight to Republicans in Congress and GOP and blocking certain gun measures. It's blaming Republicans for this. There's one person to blame here. One person. I don't, trans, no trans, I don't care about that. The one person to blame is the shooter.
This is Joe Scarborough this morning melting down on Republicans.
Former presidents, they make martyrs out of convicts who stormed the United States Capitol. These Republicans are the enemy of the rule of law. Everywhere we look, they're so worried about drag show, whatever they do, all of this stupidity. They're so afraid somebody's going to read a book about Hank Aaron. They're so afraid they're going to read a book on Roberto Clemente, but they're perfectly fine with AR-15s all over the freaking world. They're sick.
Who wants to tell Joe Scarborough that if you look at the list of the last five or six mass shooters from Nashville to Denver to Aberdeen to all the other places, none of them are Republicans. As a matter of fact, the majority have identified as trans. The Denver shooter was non-binary, but the majority of these people are trans. And again, just a hunch here, I'm going to assume that's not a lot of Republican voters right there in that list we just rattled off. So it's unbelievable to me to say Republicans are to blame when these crazy leftists are the ones that are killing people time after time.
Well, you saw it yesterday or the day before. Who was it from ABC? Moran?
Yes.
Terry Moran?
Moron.
He tried to link the new bill in Tennessee that would shut down medical transitioning procedures for minors. He linked that to this shooting. As if it's the lawmaker's fault.
And that was like his first instinct.
Yeah.
Like that was breaking news when he was talking about it. And that was the first thing that popped into his mind. Well, this law passed in Tennessee. So what's the message here? Well, if you pass this law, be careful because our crazy lunatics are going to come and shoot you. Is that the message? This is ridiculous. I'm curious as to what Eric Holcomb's going to do, because a similar bill that Tennessee passed is sitting on his desk right now at the Indiana State House.
Look, I don't care if you're a family and you have a child that's going through some gender issues. I get it. I believe personally you shouldn't affirm that, but that's your decision. But I don't think you should be giving kids puberty blockers or having top or bottom surgeries until they are 18 years of age. Age or older. I mean, that's a no-brainer, and I think it's a no-brainer for Holcomb to sign something like this. I would be shocked if he didn't.
The other big story today is that the grand jury in Manhattan will not hear evidence in the Donald Trump hush money probe for the rest of this week, and CNN is reporting that the grand jury is going to break for most of April. So there's a chance if this Donald Trump hush money Stormy Daniels investigation doesn't come to some sort of conclusion tomorrow or the next couple of days, which doesn't sound like it's going to.
He's in trouble.
This thing is going to drag out. We're going to have carb day before we have any action in regards to what's happening with Donald Trump.
The Hammer and Nigel Show. The FDA's approved over-the-counter sales of Narcan. You know what Narcan is, Hammer?
Revives those who have OD'd. It's kind of that drug. It's what it's best known for.
I was going to say diarrhea pill.
Oh, well, there's that too.
No. Narcan, yeah, it's an overdose reversing a nasal spray, I think. You put it in your nose once you think you're OD'ing. And so this is going to provide more access, easy access to the life-saving drug. I wonder if it's going to encourage more risky drug use at the same time.
That's the thing that I'm concerned with, man, because I speak with a lot of my friends that are cops, and the amount of Narcan they have to use on the daily basis, like the public doesn't know. They are using this stuff all the time. Now, these addicts, they know that if they OD, there's a good chance that an officer or somebody is going to revive them. And now you're telling me it's going to be an over-the-counter option. On one hand, okay, maybe somebody's loved one can have their life saved.
Sure, sure.
But man, I know what's happening now with this kind of drug. And you're going to see a lot more people saying, screw it. Give me that extra pill. Let me snort that extra line, because if I do blackout, there's over-the-counter Narcan.
Yeah, the drug dealers are going to be like, hey, I'll sell you this bottle of pills and I'll kick in some free Narcan. Just
right.
For the hell of it. As an added extra bonus.
So It's going to be interesting to see what this does with the amount of drug use and ODs.
You know, I mean, that some of those drugs out there, like you've seen the videos of the cops that get like a whiff of fentanyl or whatever it is in its powder form, and they even just, you know, or even the kids. There was that story, these kids are trying to do mouth to mouth, saving their friend who had overdosed, and they got it on their mouths and had to be revived.
Right.
That's how strong some of this stuff is.
Officers use Narcan, I'm telling you, every single day. At least the ones that I've spoken to, they say there's not a day that goes by where they're not seeing this drug being used to revive somebody. That's how bad the drug epidemic is in this country.
Are you on any regular medication? Are you taking anything for, like,
does Miller Lite count? Because if that's the case, yes.
I'm not talking about vodka or any sort of booze, but like a blood pressure, cholesterol, any of that good stuff?
Not yet. I'm a little concerned
not yet
about my blood pressure because it kind of fluctuates, right?
Oh, yeah.
We've got the thing at home, and I don't know really how accurate that is. It's one of those ones you know, have at home.
You're
and you put it on your arm.
Worried about it that you bought one of those things?
Yeah. Because
what, is it running your family or something?
Not too much, but I'm kind of the fat one. So,
well, I don't know that it necessarily translates to high blood pressure. And I take a cholesterol pill and a high blood pressure pill.
I remember one time you and Brian Baker had this amazing segment when he was filling in for me once. You went back and forth a little, can you top this with all the medication you guys take?
Right. And he easily topped me, by the way. He beat me by a couple, for sure. but even that, like, so I remember going to the eye doctor and they took my blood pressure for some reason, and the eye doctor was like, you better go see a doctor. You better go see a real doctor. I'm like, I'm freaking out now because I just wanted my eyes checked, and she's saying I had high blood pressure. So I went to the doctor. He's like, you're kind of in the yellow area. You're in the kind of, you know, I could put you on stuff.
I love your doctor was Cousin Eddie. You got some of the yellow.
So I'm on like a low-dose lisinopril or something like that. But, man, I wouldn't even know where to begin to get the kind of drugs that you would need Narcan to save you from. And it's so prevalent. They're everywhere.
It's easier than you think. I'm willing to bet that if you wanted some coke, if you wanted some fentanyl, some heroin, you could probably go out a Monument Circle, ask 10 people. Between those 10 people, somebody will find a way to get you what you want.
Coke. I remember I was at some party in my 20s. There's a lot of people there I didn't know. And some guy comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, do you party? And I go, yeah, I'd like to party. Sure, sure.
He goes,
no. Do you party? And I've got a drink in my hand, and I'm like, yeah, cheers, man. I like to party. Yeah, party, man.
Puts a lampshade on your head.
And he goes, no, dude, do you party? And then points to a table where there's lines of the booger sugar.
Right.
And I go, oh, do I party? No, I don't do party. No, I don't party, actually. I thought it was at a party. I was partying, but no, I don't party.
No, sir, I do not want any of your cocaine.
I felt like such an idiot. I'm like, I raised a glass to him. Cheers, party, man. Yeah. No, idiot. Do you party? So.
It's about to be a blizzard over there. It's 70 degrees and sunny. I don't know what you're talking about. Look, I think the one thing that can bring America together, Republicans, Democrats, whatever, is the understanding that the NFL preseason is awful. It's the absolute worst. Preseason sucks.
The only good thing about preseason is that I like bringing my kids to those games because nobody cares if they get out of control or not. Right?
And you get the tickets because some season ticket holder got gouged having to pay for it, like a full price game, and usually they give them away, right? Well, now the NFL has found a way to do the impossible. They have made the preseason even worse.
Wait a minute. I thought games were cut from the preseason.
Oh, they were. They were. Three is the preseason game limit now, and there's an extra regular season game.
Yeah, I like that.
But the NFL just made a new rule. They're going to bring back one roster cut in the preseason. Now, follow me here. Previously, the NFL football rosters, they would start at 90, then they'd go to 85. Then it'd be 85 to 80. And then the final roster cuts were 80 to 53.
Yes.
So now the NFL said, you know what? We're not going to have that anymore. We're just going to have one roster cut, 90 to 53. Meaning that if you're watching an NFL preseason game, chances are half the dudes on that field are not going to make the team.
I see what you're saying. So even worse football being played by the scrubs.
Right. So you're going to have to pay, assuming you're a ticket holder, full price to watch your star players play even less than they did before. Preseason is such a ripoff to the season ticket holders.
They did find a way to screw that up, didn't they?
Oh, man. Just the worst.
I love this survey. They asked people for their alternative sleep spots. 51% claimed the couch, but it's surprising that percentage wasn't higher because the other options seemed less optimal. Like, my only other sleep option in my house is my kid's bed. If they're sick or something and they want to sleep with mom, I got to get in their bed. Yes, I do wake up on the couch late at night sometimes. 44% said they'd catch some Z's on the carpet or a rug on the floor.
That hurts my back too bad.
What about an armchair? What about like a lazy boy?
Yeah, that's my other spot is the lazy boy with the feet kicked out.
Yeah, I don't have one. I have a couch with an ottoman. 36% said at a table or desk. 30% said on top of laundry.
Now, let me tell you something about the laundry. You take that thing right out of the dryer and you put it on the couch and it's warm and it's hot and you kind of snuggle up next to it. I could see that, man. Okay. Lights out. Game over, man. Game over. You get that warm towel load right out of the dryer. It's like being a grown man with a blankie. It's so good. It's fantastic.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The Hammer and Nigel Show. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there with a special guest of the DriveHubler.com hotline.
Investigative reporter for the Daily Signal and host of the Tony Kennett Show. Tony Kennett joins us. All right, Tony. So let's start with Nashville and the fallout of what happened, because the blame game happened quick. Even by political standards, the blame game happened quick. And what we're seeing is that the Tennessee legislature is taking a lot of heat from people like Karine Jean-Pierre, Joe Scarborough on MSNBC, the Tennessee lawmakers who said, we're going to pass a law that says if you're a minor, you can't have gender-changing surgery or puberty blockers or anything like that. All of a sudden, they've become the bad guys in this story, and I'm curious as to your thoughts.
Well, this is absolutely ridiculous. The idea that we are suggesting that giving someone gender-affirming care is going to make them mentally healthy, and then turn around and defend someone who clearly is mentally unhealthy, very unstable, went and shot little children in retribution for a law that Republicans passed. I'm not really sure I see the follow-through ideas here that a lot of the people on the left are trying to portray. It's one of the most gross and inhumane things that I've ever seen in media. And that's saying something, that we would blame Republican legislators for, I guess, bullying some transgender activist who isn't even affected by this law to go shoot children. And so therefore, the victim is actually the shooter. What a horrible, horrible thing to say. And this is the flag that they are running with, that if you don't respect us by giving us exactly what we want legally, we'll shoot your children.
Bingo.
My God.
Bingo. That's what I'm taking away from this. It's a threat. Well, if you don't pass the legislation that we want, your children will be shot. What in the hell kind of message is that?
And there's really no honest way that you can look at this and say that it isn't a threat. I've been documenting a lot of the rhetoric from the Indy Star, the Indiana Capital Chronicle, other Indiana affiliate media over the last couple of weeks who've utilized language like targeting LGBTQ youth and absolutely destroying any LGBTQ child's chance at happiness. And they use this kind of language and this kind of rhetoric to emotionally rev up people who are very clearly mentally unstable and need help. Not given tons of hormonal drugs and regulatory type treatments, by the way, which I've been writing about for weeks that are incredibly dangerous to the system. Here is very point blank evidence right in your face that says these kind of treatments are unhealthy. They're not natural, and we don't need to increase children's access to them.
Why do you think police have not released this so-called manifesto yet?
Well, I think that this manifesto very clearly illustrates, and by the way, we do have pieces of this. Yes. It basically says things like, if you go after our kids, we're going after yours, which is, again, the exact thing that we've been saying, that I've been saying since 2021. When you call someone a Nazi, fascist, whatever, if you tell a child that's who these people are and it's a life or death situation, don't be surprised when the child then turns around and commits mass acts of violence. In regards to the manifesto and Nashville police releasing it, there has been a lot of pressure from LGBTQ groups, Newsweek reported, and then got ratioed to oblivion, that LGBTQ groups said that releasing this manifesto would reflect rather negatively on the LGBTQ community, which I suppose is a way of saying, we know that we're wrong. We know our rhetoric is violent. We know that we are inciting these transgender activists to commit mass shootings, but we don't care. Don't release the manifesto.
So here in the state of Indiana, there's a bill on the desk of Governor Holcomb right now that, in essence, is kind of the same thing that Tennessee passed. Number one, should Governor Holcomb sign that? And number two, in light of what happened down in Nashville, do you think there's going to be some trepidation about passing laws like this, not only in Indiana, but in other states around the nation?
I do think that this sets a precedent for a lot of governors to think very carefully before they sign pieces of legislation like this, which is horrible. This actually accomplishes the goal of terrorism. Terrorism is violence that is acting to achieve a political aim. And that's exactly what this was. This was a terrorist attack against Republicans, against Christians, with the blood of little children, the daughter of that pastor. It just breaks my heart. And this horrible situation is being used to tell Republican legislatures and governors, if you pass bills that ban the mutilation of children, we will come after your children. And so I am waiting with a lot of anticipation and a lot of anxiety, quite honestly, to see whether Governor Holcomb signs this bill. He should, but the ACLU has organized a rally on Saturday on the scheduled Trans Day of Vengeance for trans activists to storm the
Let me stop you right there. What is this Trans Day of Vengeance? Somebody listening right now might not know what you're talking about.
So the Trans Day of Vengeance is an event that was set up by several different transgender activism groups in which there were supposed to be these rallies around the country in which basically transgender activists were supposed to show up and say, you know, if you plan to hurt us legally, we will fight you. And there are a lot of tweets and TikTok videos and certain other circumstances in which there are all of these pictures of transgender activists carrying weapons and basically suggesting that they're going to have weapons at these events. And now you have the Indiana ACLU kind of silently playing along and inviting people to have their own Trans Day of Vengeance here on April 1st, days after the shooting at the Indiana State House.
Tony Kennett from the Daily Signal here on the Hammer and Nigel show, this idea that trans genocide will happen if Governor Holcomb signs this bill. Does that hold any water whatsoever with you?
It scares me that they're using that kind of language, because when you tell people that there is going to be a genocide, when you tell people that Nazi fascists are walking around trying to murder them, they will respond with, in their mind, is considered equal violence. And by the way, we've seen this in several other highly charged political events in the last couple of weeks. I mean, we saw a student beaten half to death in Ohio because he refused to pledge allegiance to Black Lives Matter. We've seen several instances in which people's houses have been burned, Molotov cocktails thrown at pregnancy centers, all because these individuals who are mentally ill and need help are told instead that they need to respond violently to protect their lives, who, as you said earlier, are under threats of, quote, genocide, unquote.
How has this become a Republican issue? Because, again, going back to what I saw this morning, I saw ranting and raving by Joe Scarborough. We've seen the White House press secretary blaming Republicans for this. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, but if you look at the list of the recent mass shooters, whether it's school shooters or other mass shooters of some variety, you've got a lot of trans members, you've got a non-binary member, and I'm just going to go with a hunch here, a belly gut hunch. I don't think there's a lot of Trump and Republican voters among those school shooters. So how has this become the Republicans' fault?
It's become a Republican issue because they claim that because of the assault weapons ban of 1994, that somehow prevented mass shootings, which isn't true. And they suggest that since Republicans repealed that, all of the blood of all mass shootings, period, is on Republicans' hands. The issue with that claim, however, and they show a line, like a line going straight up after the weapon assault ban was repealed. You can also note, according to the data, that children's unfettered access to the internet has also skyrocketed in the time when that assault weapons ban was repealed, along with a lot of other mental health issues. It seems like, regardless of political affiliation, mental health as a result of unfettered access to the internet, you know, kids glued to phones, iPads, and computers, accessing the filth of humanity, is more likely to blame for these shootings than access to an AR-15.
So I'll ask you the same question that I've asked a couple of other folks. All right, if you're going to get on the internet, you're going to see some things. But is the media culpable in this? Because if you're on the internet, you're going to see what's put out by the media. The internet itself just provides a service. It's the media and it's other folks who put the information out there for you to digest.
So this is an interesting debate that I've had with a couple of individuals. I actually had a conversation with Tony Katz about this the other day, because there is a certain circumstance when someone from the alt-right or white supremacist shoots up a building, the left immediately goes and says, well, it's all of the conservative outlets to blame who said that left-leaning individuals were a threat. And now here we are with this transgender shooting, and a lot of people are claiming that it's left-leaning outlets that incited it. To me, I don't think that these media outlets are culpable. I think that what they are doing, though, is very irresponsible. And I point this out, that Erika Herron from the Indy Star wrote a, quote, news piece, which tried to fearmonger trans members by saying that they're targeting transgender rights. When you tell people from a news piece, not an analysis, not a commentary, but a straight news piece, that they are being targeted, you are going to get a response. And she knows that, and she does not care. She continues to do this. So culpable, I'm not sure, but does she definitely play a part in revving individuals up? Absolutely.
I think there's something bigger going on here in this country, Tony. I want to ask you, like 100 years ago, there per capita, there were a lot more guns in this country than there are right now. And this kind of thing wasn't happening. So we are broken, as Tony Katz said yesterday, we are broken as a society, aren't we?
I think we are. We have absolutely evaporated the common ties that bind all Americans together. There are, at this time in this country, two separate nations that are currently fighting for control. And of course, a lot of individuals say this is a call for national divorce. At this time, I certainly don't think so. But the American society as we knew it, where we believed that our fellow citizens had our best interest at heart, that age and that era is over. And honestly, I believe that it's due mostly to apathy. As a citizen of this republic, you out there that are listening right now, you are responsible for keeping this republic going, for maintaining the values of this country. Many have chosen the comfort and sitting at home and not caring about politics over the safety of this republic, and we're currently paying the price for it.
I want to get to your latest article that you're working on here in just a moment, but one more thing here before we move on. Does it make somebody a horrible person if you're done being nice to the people who want to either harm your children or put sex in front of your children. Because if you want to be transgender, knock yourself out. If you want to be gay, knock yourself out. If you want to be a freaking necrophiliac, I don't care. Ew. Knock yourself out. But as long as you're 18 and older and keep it, you know, indoors where nobody else can give a damn about it, that's fine with me. But when we start putting our kids involved here, and when kids start to be sexualized or groomed or threatened in any way, I'm tired of being nice. I don't think I'm the only one. Does that make me a bad person?
No, it doesn't. I don't know where the idea came that someone else gets to look at you and call you evil, super fascist, horrible Nazi, and on and on and on. And you just have to sit there, smile and say, I'm happy to work with you, because that kind of stuff happens at the Indiana State House. Senator J.D. Ford is a horrible individual. He routinely calls people all sorts of horrible names that are his colleagues. He accuses Republicans of everything with the kitchen sink. But then you go to the State House and people just treat him so nicely and respectfully. Like when you get to walk into the State House, you get to throw all of the crap that you set out in public aside. No, if the left wants to call the right all of these horrible names, if they want to accuse us of all this, that, and the other, I think it is a foolish move to sit here and pretend that it's not actually that bad and we're going to be all respectful and kind and loving. That's not how you represent your constituents. And no, when children are involved, the gloves are off. I'm not going to sit here and idly stand by as children are told that they were born in the wrong body and they need surgeries and hormones that are going to wreck them for life.
What are you working on right now at the Daily Signal?
Well, just breaking this afternoon, there's a school district in Virginia, Spotsylvania, that has banned 14 sexually explicit books from their public school library. These are books that appear in a lot of Indiana public schools that have really, really horrible, horrible sections and excerpts fantasizing rape and incest very graphically. I cannot repeat 99% of these things on air. It's absolutely horrific stuff. Yet a lot of people on the left think that these books belong in high school libraries because I guess they have some kind of educational value of some point. And there is a new superintendent in town at Spotsylvania. He has sent these books off to the public library, so putting the onus of those books on the parents of those students, not the students themselves, and gets garbage content out of public schools. Very good move.
So he's not saying you can't read these. He's just saying you can't read them in the school.
Right. It's not a book ban. I'm told all the time that this is burning books and it's horrible. It's just like Fahrenheit 451, Nazis, fascists. And actually, it's just saying, you know what? I don't think that a detailed description of one boy giving oral sex to an old man is appropriate for a book in a public school library. If you want to put that, again, like what you said earlier, Hammer, if you want to put that over in the library for an adult to read on their own time, that's a different argument. But in front of public school children to check out at their leisure and read, that's highly inappropriate. It's not educational, doesn't belong in public schools.
Find his work at The Daily Signal. He's the host of The Tony Kennett Show on Twitter at The Tonus. Tony Kennett, thank you.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks for having me on.
It's The Hammer and Nigel Show.